Revelation 20 and verse 8, Satan's post-millennial career. All right? Satan's post-millennial career. It doesn't last long. A short career.
Amen.
All right, and I'm sure glad of that.
Amen.
Kai? Ex e lucete?
Ex e lucete?
Planesai?
Planese?
Ta?
Ethne?
Ta?
Ta?
In?
In?
Face? Tessaron?
Tessaron.
What is?
Tessaron.
How's it spelled over here?
Tessaron.
Actually, it's on the epsilon, so it'd be Tessaron.
Okay. Is the alpha nu on the end?
No. Iota.
Iota nu.
Iota nu?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
This didn't come out real good. All right. And the bony ice?
Bony ice.
Face?
Case.
Case?
Case.
Tone?
Tone.
Gog?
Gog.
Kai?
Kai.
Magog?
Magog.
Magog.
Synagogain?
Synagogain.
Altus?
Altus.
Ace?
Ace.
Tone?
Tone.
Polymon?
Polymon.
Home?
Home.
Ho?
Ho.
Arithmos?
Arithmos.
Alton?
Alton.
Hos?
Hos.
Hey.
Amos?
Amos.
Hey.
Hola.
I've got to go back and correct a bunch of this Greek in here.
What happened?
Oh, it's faded, and somebody volunteered to write some of this for me, and they didn't do it very well. Well,
is that all right?
Good.
And he shall go out. All right. And by the way, remember Ken in your prayers? He's going to be preaching over at Valley, or not Valley, but Riverview Baptist Church
Sunday
night at 6 p.m. Give him some spiritual love.
Holy. He knows Marco.
That's what you were telling me.
That's crazy.
Pastor Jim, pray for me. I'll be preaching Sunday afternoon.
Good.
To a group.
All right, that's really good. Where are you going to be?
Well, I'm going to be going to a group asked me to preach. Me in the house, they've been going through some difficulties. They dropped out of the church and they want some preaching. And so I'm just going to use the book of Ephesians and start from Ephesians 1.
Well, that's a good book.
And, I already did the exegetic study quite some time ago.
All right.
So pray for me, then I can encourage
you. If you ever want to get that book, I've got it all done up real good.
In Greek?
Yeah.
When are they going to get
all
them
of the New Testament. They are supposed. Did you get yours?
No.
Go over to the office and ask them to give you your copy of the book of Ephesians that I had written. Okay? Go over and tell them. Okay, I told them to make you a copy. All right. Brother Carl, go over there and see if you can call him in to give me one.
Free?
Well, I hope. Tell him he'll give him $10 for it or something or whatever. I don't know. But they are supposed to give it to the teachers.
For all the New Testament or just the teachers?
No, just the book of Ephesians.
I'll buy him a whole ream if he's in one book.
Yeah.
A ream just
got all right.
Do you have the verse conjugated in the Bible?
It's all done.
Oh,
just like in the book of Revelation. All right.
Where do I go? The main office here?
Yeah, just go over to the main office. And he shall go out.
And he shall go out.
To lead astray. To lead out of the beaten path. All right. The nations. All right. The ethne. We get our word ethnic from this word. And it means the Gentiles. All the nations. Everybody but the Jews. All right. He shall go out and deceive the nations, the ones in the four corners. All right? Four corners of the earth. He shall go out through all the earth to lead astray the nations, lead out of the beaten path.
So during the 1,000 years, not everybody's a believer.
No. Now, you can't, I mean, this is real hard to believe. But remember what a lot of people said, if I was in the garden with Adam, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't have done what he did. That's a hogwash. You'll do it. Here for 1,000 years on this earth, God has been ruling over the nations. He has basically a co-administrator who is his church, his bride, and then on the earth, who is the administrator of God's kingdom on this earth. They should have done this 2,000 years ago. Who is God's administrator on the earth during that 1,000-year reign?
Jesus Christ.
No. Mm-hmm. Who is his administrator? Israel, the nation of Israel. Now they are going to rule the kingdom of the earth like they should have done the first time he came. They're going to be administrating his kingdom on this physical earth. And of course, above here will be New Jerusalem. Okay?
He'll be coming down back and forth the earth, right?
Yeah. Well, there will be people going in and out of there from New Jerusalem down the earth. And basically, you know, God is able to look down and say, all over the place. Yes.
Jim, in regards to Psalm 45:6, in my quiet time this morning, I read, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom." And that was encouraging. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever.
Amen. Now, God, he is the ruler of the heavens and the earth. There are different particular periods of time that different people have administrated for God in his kingdom. During this age that we live in today, the church is administrating the kingdom of God. All right? Of course, Satan has his false churches out in the world. It's basically a few true ones and a whole lot of false ones, because that's the way it would turn out, as we find when we look in the parables as we study it. But for 1,000 years, Israel, the kingdom of Israel, is restored on this earth now. God is, Christ with his bride is in heaven, being waited on hand and foot up there. New Jerusalem is hovering above this earth like a sun, giving the light to the earth. People are serving God on earth because they have to.
So he's not going to be on the earth during
the summer? He may wander down here. There's not a whole lot of things that it says about it. It talks about him and his kingdom and his beatific vision, or the immediate presence, the Shekinah glory of God will be in New Jerusalem. Israel will be leading the nations in worship to God on this earth for that 1,000-year period of time. And of course, now you might get off on some Jehovah's Witnesses think we're in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ right now, and I guarantee you.
Christ won't be ruled.
Satan's not bound.
No.
During the 1,000-year reign of Christ, if you look at 20 and verse 7, Satan is bound.
Christ won't be reigning from Jerusalem during the 1,000-year reign.
Jerusalem will be the center of the earthly reign of Christ, but his administrator and his kingdom will be in Jerusalem, which is Israel. The Lord today. Now, remember, God is omnipresent, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay?
He's
everywhere. His immediate Shekinah glory will be in New Jerusalem. But his spirit will go throughout all the earth and all of the universe. Okay? Christ said that he was going to go back to the Father in heaven, didn't he? When he was talking to his disciples. This was there right on the Mount of Olives. And he said, "I'm going to go away." He said, "You wait in Jerusalem." And he said, "And you wait there." And he's talking to his church. And he said, "I will be there through my spirit." I will be there through my spirit not very many days from now. And on the 50th day after he had been risen from the dead, the Holy Spirit, as the administrator in God's churches and as his presence, his Shekinah glory in the churches, came upon that church there at Pentecost at that time. Okay? Now, in the Lord's churches, the Lord is here. All right? He is here with that same glory that was there on the day of Pentecost. We don't see all the fantastic miracles and everything that are going all around us because the age of miracles has gone and passed, as we studied on Sunday morning. But his Shekinah glory and presence, as it was in the Temple of Solomon and the Tabernacle, and what came upon the day of Pentecost, is still with his churches today. Okay? And his presence is here, but we don't see him. All right? Do you see what I'm talking about, Brother Carl? His immediate presence is in the New Jerusalem, above the earth. But that does not limit God to be there always. All right. So His Spirit is to and fro through all the things. Okay? And you could say that Christ is reigning from Jerusalem because His Spirit is there. His administrator is there. Where His administrators are taken. The Lord said, for us to preach the gospel throughout this age and to teach all nations the things that He had taught us and to guard them and teach them until He comes back to receive us unto Himself. Now, He's with us. He said, for there are two or three gathered together in My authority. What did He say? There am I, will be with you. Okay, I'm with you. That's not if He's here with us tonight. Okay? But it doesn't mean that the glory throne experience is not here. But He is here with us today. That the Shekinah glory of His throne is in Jerusalem. And what is that sea of glass? Come on, we talked about that about 6 months ago, maybe. What is this sea of glass? The sea of glass that the throne is set upon. What is it? It's sapphire. It's sapphire, all right. It's blue.
The street?
A blue sea.
Oh, the sea.
The sea of glass. You know, it's called a sea of glass. It's like ocean. Flat, blue, like water. But what is that? The foundation throne or stone of which the throne of God sets upon. That's the foundation throne, stone of that throne, is that sea of glass. That's the rock foundation. That looks like polished sapphire stone that the throne of God sets upon. All right. And we see what? Sapphire is blue. A bluish color. It's a bluish color. Sapphire. And that is what the throne of God is sitting upon. That's the beauty of it. Okay? And the nations are one in the four corners of the earth. And then it says, Tone Gog. The Gog. And Magog. You could say the Gog and the Magog also. Now basically, this is talking about Russia. Magog is the name for the old city of Moscow. Alright? This is Russia.
Does Gog stand for Russia?
Yes. Gog and Magog. That's Russia. Alright? They're going to be still in existence over here. Now, we find out they're out there. One good thing they're doing in the last times, they're fighting against the Antichrist. They're going to be on the, I mean, they're on the wrong side no matter which they go, because they're not doing it for the right reason. But they are fighting against the tribulation period. They're fighting against the Antichrist and God's people. Okay? Well, that battle takes place there. Now here's going to be another battle. And Gog and Magog, Russia, is going to have a lot to do with it. Okay? The battle of Gog and Magog. The Gog and the Magog, to assemble them together, this synagogue. And, by the way, the word synagogue is what? What does that mean? Synagogue.
It's a gathering.
As a place of gathering. I want you to understand that. This is very important. Synagogue now that is a place of gathering. And it means it comes from two Greek words which means scene and ago. Alright? Scene means what?
Together.
And ago?
Go.
It means I go, I lead, or I bring. Okay, that's what it means. It means to lead or bring or go together, the place of going together. This is the place. Alright? In Hebrew, it's moed. Now, Hebrew, the Hebrew people were using so little Hebrew at that time, they didn't even name their church, the place, the church house, the moed, but the synagogue. Because they were using the Greek language. A lot of people say that they were speaking Hebrew and everything, but why in the world didn't they use Hebrew words if they were? Real simple. Synagogue. Now that's the place of going together. But what is this word here? What's that word?
church.
All right. This is the word
of the called out ones. The called out ones.
The ones called out.
Yes, sir.
What is this?
Called out ones. That's the church of Christ.
All right. These are the churches. All right. These are the called out ones. This is the people. This is the place. There is a difference. Mm-hmm. All right. That's the place. That's the people. Right there.
The building. One's the people.
One's the building, and one's the people. All right. The word church. Remember, when King James translated the word church, he did not want it to mean assembly, because that's exactly what Baptists have been saying it was. And of course, the Catholic Church, that they said we're the universal church. We are the one and only. And then, of course, the Church of England said we're the one and only church. And they got the idea of the word church as their government. Okay? But the word church should have been translated assembly, not church. The word ecclesia should have been translated assembly, not the word church. The word church gets the idea of the place, not the people. Okay? Assemble together them. Alright, he's going to call them together unto the war, of whom the number of them as the sand of the sea. Where did we get this word before? The sand of the sea. Where do you remember that figure of speech being used before in the Bible?
The physical descendants of Abraham.
That's right. The physical descendants of Abraham. Now guess where this battle is going to be?
Armageddon again? Armageddon?
No, the battle of Armageddon. The battle of Gog and Magog, actually. All right.
And who are they going to be fighting? Israel again?
Israel
now.
They're going to fight. They're going to fight
the battle of Gog and Magog is a battle in which Satan's cohorts fight against God. Satan is going to go out and he's going to assemble together with his little demon spirits. Now, guess where Satan's been for 1,000 years now?
Chained.
He's going to be chained up in a bottomless pit, but he's going to be released now after the millennial reign. During the millennial reign, no influence of Satan is going to be on the earth. But we find out people are still going to have a real hard time about serving God, because there's at least 144,000 people in their human bodies in the nation of Israel go to him. These are human bodies, people living on the earth. 144,000 Jews are only going for the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, at least that many, because it numbers in the body. And then there's 1/6 of all the Gentile nations of the world, or all the other, everybody but the Jews. 5/6 of them are going to be destroyed. 1/6 will go into the millennial reign in their bodies. Okay? Now these people are going to be made to serve God. This is one time there's going to be a church and state that's going to be one. And it's going to be righteous.
Theocracy.
Yeah. God ruling again.
Has God made himself seen in the garden walk with Adam and Eve? Will he make himself like that in the millennial reign?
His immediate presence will be in New Jerusalem. They will be able to look up to New Jerusalem because that's where the light's coming from.
They'll be able to see him and still go.
Still they'll turn away from God. Because we find out right here, it says, in the war, Satan went out and gathered together the number of them as the sand of the sea. Many. Now, if you don't have any disease, Bill, no disease, and your wife can have 1,000 children for 1,000 years, and you have a lot of friends, that's unwise to have 1,000 children in 1,000 years, how many people could be on the earth? You've been ready to retire, wouldn't you? Do you feel like that right now, Bill? Are you trying to tell me something? Well, just think of this, Bill. When you leave this land, when you leave here, you're not going to have to multiply anymore. We're going to be like the angels. Alright, well, we go to heaven. But there's going to be 1/6 of the world, and one-third of the Jews that are going to go into this thing, and they're going to populate the earth again.
That's right.
That's what? Mm-hmm. Now, we have... The Bible talks of three worlds. Did you know that? The world that was, the world that became, the world that is to come. All right? The world that was over here in eternity. Past. All right? Now, when God created the heavens and the earth, there were a lot of animals on here and everything, and Satan rebelled against God, and he destroyed the physical world that we know today. That's why you can go out and you can drill a mile or 2 or 3 or 4 miles deep in the ground, and you can find animals. Fossil fuel down there, oil and things. That's where it came from, was from this period of time, and then destroyed. All right? Now, when did Satan destroy this thing? All right, he kicked up his heels and thrashed it. And then, what period of time over here did God kill all the living animals in life?
The flood.
At the flood.
Yes, sir.
All right. The flood. So everything was killed here.
Yes, sir.
Except maybe cockroaches.
Except for
everything. All right. And then here, over here in the flood, we have all animal life killed on this earth. Now, not the fishes.
I should say fish, that's the plural.
So I got King James on you, didn't I? except for the fish and the mammals and the ocean, you know, the whales and the dolphins and so on and so forth.
All in.
Where God took all of the animals that he chose to take on the ark with him. Okay, now the earth was repopulated again. Now we find the Tower of Babel. The earth at that time was all water on one side and all land on the other side. Man got so bad that God divided the earth in the days of Peleg, and he confused the languages, didn't he? And they divided the earth. All right? And that's how that happened. I don't care what scientists say. The Bible says that's what happened.
Amen.
Simple as that.
Amen.
All right? I'll take the Bible over some nutty day. He might ate too much sauerkraut the night before when he came up with his theory. So we see now God destroys or allows to be destroyed during the tribulation period five out of every six people. Gone. One left. And two out of every three people among the nation of Israel. But there's one left. And all of these people populate the earth again. And that's the dudes we're talking about right here. And war of them, the number of them as the sand of the sea. Now you can cross-reference this to Hebrews 11 and verse 12, Ezekiel 7 and 2, Ezekiel 38 and 2, and Ezekiel 39, 1-6. If you want to later on, you can write that down or get it off the tape. 20 and verse 9. Chi. Anabeson. Epi. Tol. Batos. Tais. Gaze. Chi. Ekku Klison. Tain. Harim Bolein. Tone, Hagion, Kai, Pain, Polin, Pain, Aga, Paymane, Kai, Karabe, Here, Ek, Tu, Uranu, Kai, Karafagin, Altus. All right, now let's look back here. And they went up over the breadth of the earth. They went up. That's Anna and Bino. They went up. Anna means up. Bino means to go up. All right? Over the plateau, our word plateau comes from this word platos in Greek. The word plateau comes from. That's over the level plain. You could put over the plain there, okay? plane. The plane of the earth. And they encircled the camp, all right, of the saints. And the city, the one having been beloved, all right, the city that has been loved. What city do you think that is?
Jerusalem.
Where's this battle going to take place?
Armageddon.
This is the battle of Gog and Magog. And now Armageddon is in the valley of Megiddo, which is a battlefield that takes place during the last part of the tribulation period, when the Mount of Olives splits and there becomes a 200-mile-long battlefield. All right? And that battlefield was created right there, and that's the battle of what we call the Battle of Armageddon. And over here in the battle of Gog and Magog, and some people call it Armageddon also, but it is a different battle than this battle right here that takes place here. We have a battle here taking place after the Lord has ruled on this earth for 1,000 years. Now, if you have one eye and half a brain,
what did they hope to accomplish?
If you just barely see out of one eye and had just about half a brain, Carl, would you be wanting to rebel against God even if you didn't believe?
No, sir. I wouldn't have a chance.
You know what is empowering these corrupt people together?
Satan.
These people are lost people that are on this earth serving God because they have to. And he goes out and he gathers these rats to himself. You know, sometimes there's even rats in the Lord's churches.
Amen. Amen.
There are.
Amen.
Well, on this earth that God has ruled over for 1,000 years, Satan goes out and gathers his demonic influence. His demon spirits go out with him, gathering together the ilk that has populated this earth. And it says, the army is like the sands of the sea. That's really, you know, this is really hard to, it's hard to fathom this.
This battle is going to be fought in different places.
Well, this one here, now, we've already had the Battle of Armageddon.
Right.
All right? And the Lord just whipped all of them and wiped them out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But 1/6 of the Gentile nations have come into the 1,000-year reign of Christ. The Lord has reigned for 1,000 years through Israel on this earth. All right? And then for this 1,000 years, the earth has been repopulated and it's been tidied up real well.
Mm-hmm.
All of the dead have been buried and everything else. And
time passed,
and history is due to repeat itself. As simple as that. History is due to repeat itself.
That'll be the last battle in this world.
This is the last battle.
That's the last one.
This is the last war, the last battle, and the last of Satan. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to be glad to be shut of him. Well, it's the sovereignty of God. And I like what you said in that little sermon we were over there about sovereignty of man and sovereignty of God.
Is it because he knew to get rid of the ones that were not believing?
They did not believe.
Kind of let them follow their man to hell.
Yeah. Then they will. They will follow their leader. And the city, the one having been the law, and it came down. Fire out of the heaven, and it ate them down.
He would have somewhere.
This Greek is real good here. When you have you ever built a barbecue pit and got the fire real good and hot, and put a piece of meat or something on it? And if you just keep turning that thing on, don't take it off, what does the fire do?
Burns it up.
It burns it down.
Yes, sir.
gets smaller and smaller. It gets smaller and smaller. If you take a torch and you put a flame down on it, on something, it burns it down to the ground until there's nothing but ashes left. Now, in the days of Elijah, God sent fire down out of heaven to devour and destroy. In the days of Jesus, the humble John asked Jesus one time, "Call these rats, just call fire down out of heaven and get them." No, no.
Well, didn't he say that? Let me do it. Let me call it down on them.
They must have been pretty angry at that point.
Well,
James and John, they're pretty full of themselves.
Sons of Thunder.
Yeah, they're pretty full of themselves.
Here, it happens. Fire does come down out of heaven and just eats them down. Just burns them up. Kills them. But they're not done with.
Also, the Jerusalem comes down, is that right?
Yeah.
So far, yeah. Is it naps everybody?
Mm-hmm. Now it's going to. 20 and verse 10. Time to blind now, fellas. And ladies. Kai.
Hold
Diabolos.
Hold Diabolos.
Hold Plano.
Hold Plano.
Altus.
Altus.
Ablete.
Ablete.
Aistane Limnane.
Aistane Limnane.
Two Piros.
Two Piros.
Kai.
Kai.
Theon.
Theon.
I guess.
Theon.
Theon. Who?
Yes.
Okay.
What's one at the end?
Okay. Now that's not Theos. It's Theon. Okay. I want you to pay attention to that.
That's generative, wasn't it?
Yeah. Hoopoo.
Hoopoo.
Kai.
Kai.
Ho. Therion.
Therion.
Kai.
Kai.
Ho.
Ho.
Pseudo Prophetes.
Pseudo Prophetes.
Kai.
Kai.
Vasaniste Sontai. Hemeros.
Hemeros.
Kai.
Kai.
Nyctos.
Nyctos.
Ace.
Ace.
Tus.
Tus.
Ionos.
Primos.
Ton. Ionon.
Ionon.
And the devil, the Diabolos. The Diabolos. The devil. What does the word Diabolos mean?
Deceiving? Liar?
That's that one I had last Wednesday.
Dia and Malo. It means to destroy.
Destroyer.
It is the destroyer. And the destroyer. Mm. Now, here's and the one leading them astray, the one deceiving and leading people astray. All right, and this is present participle and active, by the way. All right. What case and gender is that now?
What's that again?
I said, what case and gender is this participle here? Is present participle active the one leading them astray?
You mean planon? Is that the one you're
talking about? Uh-huh. Planon.
That would be...
Well, look at the definite article.
That would be masculine, wouldn't it?
Okay. And what case?
That would be...
Look at the definite article it tells you. Real simple.
Nominative.
Nominative, singular, masculine.
Yes, sir.
All right. Whole planon. Look at that. Look at these identifiers. I mean, you don't even have to know all of these and memorize all the cases if you just memorize the definite articles, because they're going to agree with the one that follows them. All right?
Mm.
And the one deceiving them. Who's this one? The devil?
The devil.
Now look at this. This is the same person, isn't it? The devil, the one deceiving them, he was cast. This word is balo. It's eblete. Okay? It's third person singular, first aorist, indicative, passive. Alright? Aorist tense is what? Look again.
Point in time.
Punctiliar and point time action. Alright? Point time action. He cast them, aistane limnane. What word does that mean? That word, the ace there, that's extension or limitation or thought or verbal action. That's the grammatical definition of an extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. All right? suspension or limitation of thought or verbal action.
So what you're saying is there's a limitation on what happened.
No extension or limitation. It extends or it limits thought or verbal action. And of course here, it's not so much thought as verbal action in there. It's follow. Where is this devil going to be cast? It tells you. This ace here is the pointer. In Hebrew, it is F, Aleph and Tau. That's a sign of the direct obvious. All right, now this is basically when you say ace, that's a sign of direct obvious. There's some action going that direction. Okay? All right? And he said he was cast ace, tame, limname. What's a limname? Is that a lemon?
Lake.
Oh, that's a lake.
Yes, sir.
All right. Lake to Piros. Our word Piri comes from this. What is a Piri?
Marble.
A clear marble. All right. And what does fire look like? You can see through fire, can't you? Have you ever heated up rocks? How many of you ever heated up rocks? How many of you ever have ever gone into a sweat lodge? No?
I tore mine down.
All right, well, Indians, we'll get a little Indian talk for you, too, okay? I got to throw this in now and then. All right.
They have the right things on, you know. They know how to relax.
Yeah. And pray. Yeah. This is a sweat lodge, all right? Made out of little branches all over this place. And it's on flat ground. And down in the middle of this lodge there is a holdup. Okay? Everybody sits around this thing on blankets. And a lot of skins or tarp or whatever you want to throw, blankets, quilts, old carpets, whatever you want to throw on this thing, you know, where Indians
are.
Well, buffalo skins originally. And right leading in here, out here, is called the Red Road. And out here at the end of this Red Road is a place where they build a fire. It's a fire pit. And they go pick up some real nice rocks. Nice round rocks. Okay? And they build a fire and they put these rocks in here. And they get those rocks so hot that you can see through them, brother, in the dark. You can see through rocks because they're just like lava. And they pick them up with an antler horn or a shovel today, or a pitchfork, and they come in there and they put them in here. And you close the covers to that, and you can see through those rocks. Because they're molten hot. And that heats the place up real good.
Toss a little bit of water on
top. And they put a little water on the top. Take sweet grass or sage and dip it in water and put it on those rocks like that. And then listen. For the message from God. Alright? All around here, you can look into those rocks and you can see through the rocks. You can see a rock on the other side of a rock. Now, Brother Bill, you sell metal, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
If you get metal real hot, you can see through it.
You get it hot enough, yeah.
You can get it hot enough. How many of you ever heard of the mountain mahogany? It's a real hard wood, and it is extremely fine. That's the hottest burning wood I have ever seen in my life. That guy's preaching pretty loud down there. He's coming in here.
He's getting fired up down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is a hellfire and brimstone sermon here tonight. It's right straight out of heaven. One time, when I was up in Fish Lake Valley, I went out and got a bunch of wood. Picked it up from a wash. And in that wash, there was wood in there that was just as heavy as iron. And I didn't know what it was. I never fooled around. I've cut wood a lot in my life and everything. And I got this mountain mahogany. And I got a pretty good sized stick of it. And I got my fire going in there. My wood burning cook stove is sitting out on my patio right now. And I put this mountain mahogany in there. It wasn't very long before I could see the fire inside that stove. That's scary. You can see through. You can see through that stove, that iron. I was opening the door, and it was 20 below zero outside. And I opened the door. I was about to take that stove and throw it out in the yard because I was scared. Man, I mean the wall
was peeling up.
And the ceiling and everything. This was hot. This is another hot spot. Right here. He cast him down into the lake of fire. Now, you're not going to get away from this. How far, how long has this fire been burning in this lake of fire?
Since God made it.
Who was cast into the lake of fire?
Satan, the devil.
Hold on, yeah.
The false prophet.
Who?
The false prophet.
The false prophet. The false prophet. And the beast. The Antichrist has been in this lake for 1,000 years. And by the way, they haven't burned up yet. They've been there for 1,000 years cooking. The Bible talks about the bodies in this lake of fire as asbestos. Asbestos. I still have some asbestos in a roll. You can take this asbestos and roll it around a stovepipe or something. And I mean, it insulates the heat. And it doesn't burn up. I mean, you can hold a torch on it and just keep on burning. Doesn't affect it at all. When I was up in Nevada, I went down to the local. I'll get right with you, Carl. I went and bought a board to put in my window there so I could stick my stovepipe out the window. And I cut a hole in that thing and stuck the stovepipe hood. And I said, I want to see how. You know, I saw this stuff there, and I said, I really wonder. You know, I mean, here's my mobile home, and they're just like a matchbox. Just zip, and they burn up. I'm going to see if this stuff is really fireproof. So I went out there with my torch, and that little piece of stuff that I took and cut out there, I held the torch on that, and I held it, and I held it, and I held it. It did not faze it. That's like sinners' bodies in the lake of fire. They're going to burn and burn and burn, but they won't go away. They're going
to
be like
asbestos
for the car.
Well, in regards to that, at work a couple of days ago, I'm making friends with this Mexican. I got a good report. He made the statement when I was with him. I don't know what to talk about when he made the statement. Well, he said, I'm going to go to hell with my friends tonight. I said, Abel, I want to tell you something. Jesus describes hell as weeping and gnashing of teeth. Furthermore, whoever goes to hell, they're going to be in a hellfire. And it's going to be hot. And I said, I wouldn't brag about that. I said, you know, the best thing is for you to believe in Christ and go to heaven. But I said, hell is a bad place. Mm-hmm. There's going to be punishment. I said, there's going to be punishment forever.
And it's forever. Lonely. It's lonely. There's no fellowship in hell. Mm-hmm. You know something? When you're hurting real bad, are you thinking about much anything else? You're not worrying about your neighbor down the street at that time. I don't care if we're having a wreck out there. If you're laying there on the floor bleeding or something and hurting, you're not concerned with that at all, are you? I mean, the neighbor's house could blow up, but you're laying there and you're in pain, all right?
Yes, sir.
And that's about the way it is. And then it says this Theou here. Theou. Right? It's not Theos, but Theou.
Sulfur.
Sulfur. When I was a little young boy, I worked in a wrecking yard, and they bring cars in. And we had flares. We'd find flares in the back of cars all the time. And now and then, since I was a firebug and always making bombs or something, when I was a little kid, making a gun or cannon or something all the time. You remember, Mama, you remember when I blew up the living room? Or shot your washing machine?
Well, you did that pretty well.
She was standing there when I blew up that bomb in the living room. Splattered all over everything. But I got some of these flares. You know those things that burn underwater? You could take a piece of steel or iron and just hold it there to it, and it just melts it. That's real hot. That's the lake of fire. It's a sulfur. A lake? A sulfur.
Just pure sulfur.
Now, how many of you, when you were little kids, everyone out there to the Hart Park and used to drink that water out there?
Yeah.
That's sulfur water. Mm-hmm. That stuff tastes like rotten eggs. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the lake of fire is going to smell like. Mm-hmm. Where also, there's the word chi there. Look at that chi. Here it's a cumulative particle. Look that one up on page 208 if you want to. Benjamin Davidson's analytical Greek lexicon. Also, where also the beast, the Therion. What is this Therion? What's this guy? Who is it? Therion.
Last destroying machine.
Great white shark on land, a killing machine. A moving, swift killing machine. And the false prophet, pseudo prophetess. He's a prophet, wasn't he? Did this prophet do miracles in the presence of people? Did he do real miracles? This wasn't just sleight of hand. How many of you ever went to some place and saw the same words for miracles in the Bible? And there's one word for miracle. It's our word terror comes from. Terror. Terror. T-E-R-R-O-R, you know. Terror, frighteningly terror. When you see something so shocking, it terrorizes you. Terrorizes you. Little of the beast.
When you say the beast and the false prophets, are they two different?
The beast and the false, also the false prophet. They have one person that they're identifying with. We have the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, don't we? Right. That's one God. There aren't three gods. Well, these are kind of like that. Okay?
It's like the Mormon's definition of three people and one purpose.
The false prophet that had done all of these miracles, he performed tremendous, powerful, terrifying miracles. One of the things that, you know, he even killed the two witnesses of God, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He had part of man.
What about the beast?
The beast. Well, he's the Antichrist, the beast that was able to go and deceive all the earth. But he was, read the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. Go back to the sixth chapter. And it identifies his traits, the traits of the beast, how he comes to power. He promises the world a wonderful economy. He promises the world safety for what you have. He promises the world health care. Better than Oral Roberts.
Somebody George Bush.
Promising the world all of these things. And you know what? When Satan took Jesus to the great high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the earth, and he says, I can give all of these kingdoms to you if you'll worship me. Who owned those kingdoms?
Jesus Christ. Well, God.
Who owned them right then?
Jesus Christ.
Satan owned them. He's the God of this age. We have to remember that. He's the God of this age. Satan is. All of the evil in this world that's taking place today didn't come from God. Satan, at this moment, at this very time, you know, look at your watch. As that second hand ticking, right now, Satan is making a pathway for the Antichrist to come. The one we're talking about right here. Mm-hmm. The beast and the false prophet. God is allowing this to happen. Here we're at the end of the church age and all this is coming upon this earth. And Satan is making the pathway to the Antichrist clear. He's like John the Baptist did. What did John the Baptist do for Christ?
Prepared the way for Christ.
He prepared the way for Christ. And that was a figure of speech. And what would happen before a king would come into an area, he would send emissaries out to say the king's coming. The roads would all be prepared. You know, we're having an election. I saw yesterday the first time in 4 years they were spraying the weeds on our road. That's what you call a con job, you know.
With the green
right. I mean, that's when they fix everything and all this happens, you know, is right now. I'm looking how good of a job I'm doing. And remember me when you go and vote, you know.
And they'll start going to church for the first time in 4 years. They'll start attending church on a regular basis.
Where sulfur is burning and where the beast and the false prophet are. And then it says, and they shall be tormented. They shall be tormented day and night. Hemeros, day and night. Nyctos. Look at that word, nyctos. How do you spell the English word night?
That comes right straight out of there.
Night. All right, look at this one. Nyctos. Nyctos.
So would day and night be the same? Or would it be different?
No, it's different. Day and night. Our word night comes right out of this word nyctos.
Night. What I'm saying is, it'd be towards the day and night. Would the days be like the days of 24-hour period?
Yeah. It means 24 hours. That's what day and night means here. It is a figure of speech for a 24-hour period of time.
Not only are they burning, but they still are in time and space.
Yes.
So they feel every last second of it.
Hell will know every moment.
They're like a specific.
Just think about this.
Heaven doesn't draw time.
Now, heaven, hours don't mean anything in heaven. Meant for anything is this one beautiful, eternal bliss. But in hell, every minute counts. Every second counts. Every second of torture in hell it'll feel like an eternity because it is. But how many of you ever had something real bad happen to you and it only happened for a few seconds, but boy, did it seem like you were in a crash?
Yeah, forever.
Or something fell on you, or that car wreck that you were in. It seemed like eternity you were in that car, didn't you?
Right.
You'll be. Had his neck broken. Turn around looking at himself, and his head was going too far like a chicken. And seemed like forever, didn't it?
Yeah, seemed like forever.
Yeah.
They say it was only about, 45 minutes.
Or so. Seemed like forever because you were in pain. You were in pain and you were frightened. I remember one time in my life, the scariest I ever was. I was riding a bronc that I had been breaking. I've been breaking him for about a year, and he would have fits. He was out of out of Oklahoma Star, and some of that blood was kosher blood, and they were some mean killer horses in that blood. Now they were nuts. They would go nuts on you and try to kill you, but they're extremely good athletes. And I've been riding this horse, and when I put the saddle on him that day, he was a rainbow. And he bucked, like, for 30 minutes. Well, you can't let a horse get by with that. You have to ride him to the quip. So I rode him. He turned over backwards on me two or three times, and I let him roll over backwards. He's trying to get me off. And he'd hit the ground, and I'd step right in the middle of the saddle, and up he'd come. And he was mad. I finally got him settled down, and I rode him over to my yard. And when I got up to the front where he rode into the yard there, he broke in two again. I thought I had him settled down. Not only did he break in two, but he went up and he started coming over backwards, going to come down as hard on me as he could. And I jumped out of the saddle again like this, except he was ready for me. And he turned around with his mouth open like that, and that's all I saw. He knocked me out. He hit me in the side of the ear right here with his bit and cut my ear half in two. And I had a basal fracture. My skull was just moving off of my neck. It was all broken. And I went out. When I woke up, a man had drugged the horse off of me because he was biting me. And I was just hurting all over. I had teeth prints and horseshoe prints all over me. He was going to kill me. He would have killed me. He probably should have killed me, except for the hand of God keeping my spirit there. But I was the scaredest I ever was in my life. When I woke up, I could not see. I was burning all over. And I didn't know my name or who I was. I had amnesia. I couldn't see or anything. I could hear voices, but I couldn't see. Couldn't see anything. And I was hurting all over, burning all over. My skin, they had to stick needles in me all over and drain the fluid out where that horse had just picked me up and shook me like a rag. Just ripped my skin off of me. I thought I was in hell. Hard. Boy, I talk about a bad thing. Amnesia? You don't even know who you are? You can't see? And you can just barely hear because my hearing was, my right ear has never worked since then very much. I was the scariest I ever was, but people
are... Oh, were you?
I don't know, 15 years old, something like that. There's going to be people that are going to spend eternity like that. Eternity like that. Is that the way you're going to spend eternity? Is that the way you want to spend eternity? At the end of this period of time, I hear Satan is going to send out his buddies to gather them unto the last great battle. And I'm sure that Israel was teaching from this jar in that 1,000-year reign. But he does it, and people are empowered by it. Wickedness and perverse nature of mankind, the Adamic nature, will allow people to go the wrong way. Well, you know, how many times have people heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and just go on their merry way to hell? Mm-hmm. How many times? You know that in America, in the early part of this country, when there was only six graves, if you want to, almost 90% of the things that they taught children, the McGuffey readers and everything, was about morals and about God. And today, they won't even let you mention the name of God in school. That's where we are today. Thank you for your attention tonight. Brother Bill.
What you did for me this week. I've been trying to get in with this company for 6 months. I haven't got any of them, but the receptions don't know it about that much and let me pass something through to get to a person agent. So I got the every money. I just fax him over to say, you know. Well, that wasn't going to work. In 6 months I've been doing this. So when I went down on Tuesday, I left him one of my CDs and got you. I got this morning, I got a fax, but I've got a quote to pull the job this morning. This guy. I haven't got a phone call, return fax. The secretary wouldn't even wait when I'd pass something through the window, and then I got the quote, and I just told it that I'd heard, you know, like one time I sent a sign when he wanted to take his desk and said, any day above ground, a good day, I can send a little stuff like that. But I thought, well, if I can't sell you something, maybe I can save you. So I just left that CD wrong with Ephesians. I think it's Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 over there.
No, it's the parables.
Parables. Anyway, I left that, and this morning when I got to work this morning, there was a fax from this mail. Anderson, I think, is his name, with a photo. So I thought, that worked out pretty good.
Well, thank you, Bill. I'm glad it helped you out. And I hope that the truth reaches him. And by the way, you're all over that tape. I mean, they're talking to you here, you and Joanne, and all of you guys in the class that were in the parables class are there. Ken, all of you.
You get some little business cards made up that says discoveredword.com by Jim Phillips, maybe it was fish. Because if I had them, I could leave one of them, too.
Yeah. Well, I've got something like that. I've got some cards with that, and you know what? I was going to stamp all of those CDs that I gave you with that. I've got a stamp that does that, discovertheword.com. Of course, they see it all over the CD, you know. It comes up there, discovertheword.com and everything. And also, by the way, if you that are on the Internet coming, or just basically, there's going to be a sermon of the week. It's not going to be by me on there. And here's the last one, the one that's on there. It's written, it's an article about church history. And there are several church history tapes on that thing. You can listen to it all at time, and it's really good stereo sound, and everything comes off of these tapes. And if you want to listen to that or see that, there's going to be a sermon of the week, and I'm going to try to put one of my teachers on there, Travis Hubbard, and just some of the teachers that I've had, Roy Reed. You can hear a sermon by them, so people that taught me. Okay? And they'll be on there. There's going to be a sermon of the week on there starting right now. And this is, of course, this is a written sermon. Thank you so much for your attention. God bless you. Thank you, Bill. And would you dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Yeah, Lord, we thank you for this precious opportunity to be in your house again, Lord. And for all that we've learned and what you the grace and the love that you give us, Lord. Pray that you just give us the strength and the wisdom to take this out, Lord, and to help others. This is what your plan is. And Father, we just thank you for this fellowship with each other this morning, Lord, this evening. And pray, Father, you just guide and direct us all this week to keep us safe. Yes, in Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.